It'll be a partly sunny sky, spotty showers, middle to upper 80s this afternoon, east to southeast winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. We'll see a few showers tonight, lows in the middle to upper 70s. Partly sunny with spotty showers, 84 to 88 tomorrow. A few showers tomorrow night, middle to upper 70s. It'll be partly to mostly sunny on Sunday, highs 85 to 89 degrees. Rip current risk will be moderate today, particularly north-facing beaches on St. Thomas and east-facing beaches on St. Croix. Take WTJX on the go with the WTJX app, available for download from the App Store and Google Play.
WTJX 93.1, Charlotte Amalia, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here Analyze This on Programming Notes for tonight, Friday, May 10th on Channel 12. Of course, the PBS NewsHour starts it off, our primetime coverage at 7. Washington Week with The Atlantic at 8, at 8:30 in conversation with AARPVI. And then at 9 o'clock, right, from 9 until the rest of the night. Right, great performances. Experience the Shakespearean classic Hamlet, directed by Tony Award winner Kenny Liana. That's going to run you all the way through. Up to midnight, ain't no Hamlet big like that. You know what I'm saying? So, PBS News Hour at 7. Washington Week with The Atlantic at 8, half hour. Another half hour gig with in conversation with AARPVI. Then a 3-hour deal with the great performances. Hamlet, the Shakespearean classic down tonight. Great performances, right from 9 until midnight. I got Rocky Labor and Doc School joining me here on a late week edition of the Table Talk. So yesterday, and I'm reading this article, Doc School, 182 degrees conferred at the 2024 UVA St. Thomas commencement. The governor being this, the governor was sitting there in between former Mayor Bottoms, right?
Yes.
From Atlanta and Rock City, Terran and Timothy Thomas, right? And that man got on the shades. The two of them had on the shades, and the governor got on the glasses, and Ms. Bottoms is there. She was a former Atlanta mayor, right?
Yeah.
And matter of fact, I believe she was the mayor at the time or right before Georgia went purple, right, in 2000?
Yeah, during COVID, too.
During COVID, yeah. So now that she's a graduate at FAMU, right? Yeah. She said that included her journey through her undergrad and law school, where Bottoms said she graduated magna cum laude from Florida A&M University. Then came law school, where she graduated and squeaked by and said she graduated. Thank you, Lord.
Laud,
right? Laude, right? And like FAMU, University of Virginia is a land-grant institution, right?
Yes.
So that's awesome. As well. So we definitely want to give a shout out to Rock City for that awesome gesture. 20K, you said, right? Doc School?
20K, yeah.
20K. And Rocky, keyboard work for you. Keyboard work for you when you were the president, right?
Yeah, he was there. Yeah. He worked with us for the Senate for a little while.
Yeah. And we're talking about...
I don't know if people would... It's kind of difficult to understand the plight that his father had with his children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I think I actually explained it. He used to bring them to the workplace. You, by fact, you were the one who tell you it's okay for the children to be there, right?
Yeah, he's a dedicated fellow. Yes, he's a dedicated guy. I mean, you know, and he really dedicated with his children, and he really put in the time and. And the time wasn't always good and easy.
And I didn't even know he had passed away, because remember, towards the last part of my presidency, we had honored him, and they had a parade and all that stuff. in 2016. So I didn't know Kibo had gone, you know what I mean? So condolences to the family.
No, but he did a job. Listen, the job that he did with these youngsters at the time when it was rough bringing up little teenagers at the time, and you want to be the friend, you want to do this, you want to do that. But he made sure that he tried to guide them along the way. And this is what they are today.
And they're brag about coming out of housing and making it to the big time, man.
Yeah. Man, no, man, you got the job.
The story is awesome, Neville. And the thing with Kibo was he was the biggest cheerleader. He was the biggest cheerleader. Yesterday when I saw Rock City, you know, I had on a shirt with my son picture on it, right? And you know when my son walk up, I overshot everybody in the place. So he said, "Man, Ducks, when I see you stand up, I look at you and say, that's my father, because that's how my father would have been going on."
Really? You know what
I mean?
Yeah, man.
When they cross the stage, I mean, just supporting them to the key. The song Locked Away, Neville, was in honor of his dad, you know.
Yeah.
Locked Away was in honor of his dad, because his dad had served some time. His dad mom. Yeah, Locked
but,
Away.
Hey, but check this out. When he get a award, he took in a bad word, you know. He took in a bad word that night when he went Grammy. I think it's Song of the Year. Either Song of the Year, Record of the Year. And Chokina Barodo, we are used. Of course, we're not using it on this NPR station.
Not using it as NPR.
I might not have a job on Monday morning. You know what I'm saying? But no, that was interesting. How he let you hear it, dog, man. He just let it all out. You know what I'm saying? But they've been good though. Look, they've been making, you know, wicked records, man. Great music for years. They are good 9-10 years into this thing as a known commodity, right, in the music world, right?
Yeah, man.
And it's going to happen again, too, because that's just how it works. It's a cyclical thing. Yeah. And when you got skill and like they do, it's going to happen. So congratulate UVI for doing the right thing and honoring them. And of course, one thing about you could say what you want about David Hall, he got contacts because earlier this year he had the U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock, right, talking to the students. I think that was last month, sometime in April or March. I think it was April, and now here we have a former mayor of one of the biggest cities in the country as our guest speaker at a commencement exercise. We're doing all right, man. We're doing all right.
Our message was very poignant in terms of what you delivered to the students, and I hope that it took heart to it. My son and I were discussing the message and what it meant. I mean, we don't have time to go into all of that, but it was a very poignant message. You know, sometimes you go to commencement exercise and the speaker talking and the children them starting to sleep and all kind of things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It happened yesterday.
Yeah, it didn't happen yesterday. I was told that that commencement exercise yesterday was far one of the best that has taken place at the University of the Virgin Islands.
Well, you know something, and you know about this, and Rack, you know about this, right? If there's something that we always ask guests who come to our function or wherever, read the room. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Read the audience, right? Yeah. When you got a graduation, a commencement exercise, I beg your pardon, because that's the terminology, right? Don't be there. People ain't come there to hear you, or no? You know what I'm saying? People come to be a part of celebrating what they have contributed to students taking that next step and reaching that level, right? So don't go there trying to dominate and running your mouth and turning people off, right?
No.
Read the audience. Let them know, you know, I'm here because I want you to know that you are to be proud of who you are representing, blah, 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 and move on.
The governor, the ceremony had needed a little lull, and when the governor came on, and the governor light up the place, no man.
No, one thing about the governor, he go to them type of setting.
Yeah, man.
You can't deny that.
Light up the place, man, and he went on and brought the light back into the whole thing, because a couple of speakers in between, I ain't going to who they were.
Yeah.
that really dulled down the thing and got to come back to the standard.
We got. So this was at Rayco?
No, this was in the university gym, the Blake.
Oh, the Blake Center. The Blake Fitness Center. Okay. Eldridge Blake.
And the governor light up the place, man, and the children them live up, and then they were ready to walk out to see the go on.
That's what you're talking about. That's right. Move the tassel from one side to the next. And Rocky, you know Dr. Ken personally, right? That way, boy, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Ken? I know of him very well.
Yeah, and the campus is named after him, right?
Yeah.
And the campus on St. Croix named after Albert Sheen. You know what I'm saying? So these, again, great Virgin Islanders, man. Great Virgin Islanders. You know what I'm saying? So
Neville, I don't want to kick out Rocky like this, but when we did the Tech Park thing, we worked very closely with
I know that. Rocky, he know that I had to reach back to you to get some history with respect to the Tech Park, the Tech Village, the Tech Park, right? The RT Park, right?
RT,
yeah. Hey, Docs, one time I had to send Rocky an assignment. I said, Rocky, go reach out to Dr. Ken to find out what the deal was, man, and why why it was necessary. Yeah. And he told you, Rocky, and I think we could convey this, right, that they wanted an entity that could generate some revenue so that when they have capital projects, they don't have to be 100% reliant on the government of the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I want to
22 years later. Because it seemed like yesterday, or no? But could you imagine?
Yeah.
22 years, 2002. I want to personally thank both of you, along with the members of the 24th legislature. But Rocky, that was when you were president, right? Second go around, for getting us into the RT Park world. Because in this day and age of technology and that pipe that we got here, that was one of the greatest pieces of legislation and creation I ever do as senators back in the day.
Yeah, Malcolm Corwin also have to.
Yeah, Corwin. Got to get Corwin credit.
Corwin was one of the driving force. And we sat down
Rocky wanted to say something about that as well.
No, I'm saying, you know, what a precursor to that was Global Crossing. That, with the bandwidth coming into St. Croix.
Yeah.
When that happened, because St. Croix was really the hub, you know. Everything coming there, from all over the world. And Dr. Ken used that concept, but I want to give Senator Cole, we call him Docs, credit. He was there, I was in the chair, and I couldn't defend because we had some people trying some blows at this thing, you know.
Here's what happened, right? Because remember, now I had to go do my research because I am a current day mercenary on their behalf. Right.
That's a good thing, Neville.
Of course. Our good friend Adelbert Bryan, right? He has sponsorship of the bill, right? And as in classic board style, great idea, blah blah blah. And then when they're ready to make the move, well, I don't know if we're gonna do it again because I don't know if it's gonna be on St. Croix and all. Just looking for reasons, right?
Yeah.
Looking for reasons to want to question its creation and its validity. And based on and my source articles, the two of you and Chucky said, no, we gonna get this thing going. Can you holding on to this thing and want to make it a St. Thomas versus St. Croix thing? And the corporate headquarters is slated to be on St. Croix. So are you make it happen? And then I don't even believe he voted for it. I think it went 14-0.
Yeah,
and he abstained. And he abstained, a joke, but. Look, in this day and age, right, and that was vision on Dr. Ken's part, right, and your part with the pipe and the bandwidth and all that stuff. And we still haven't maxed it out, but we're getting there, and hopefully better late than never.
Sure.
Maybe we can make it work. No, quickly before we go, Rocky, your boy said this is his last year on the tour, man, Dominic Thiem. He announced that 2024 is the last. And no, I got a problem with that, Doc School, because the game of tennis need one hand backhand players.
And
all these two hand backhand like Djokovic and them, I getting tired of them. And Nadal, and to hear Dominic Thiem say he want no more, that's a painful deal. But he has some injuries the last couple of years, and I could see why he probably don't want to go through that grain anymore. Quickly, let me shift. You know, Rocky, 31 years ago, you know, right? You had this water idea. I think it's 1993, right?
That's right. The water idea
that could have generated some revenue and actually put us in a position where entities like Fiji, right? We could have created a Fiji type commercial water entity, yeah. Right? And we missed the boat. And once again, jealousy, right? Jealousy and envy. And because they tell me, well, I don't know if you can go anywhere and all that stuff. And look at us now in 2024, where we have continuous problems with the Virgin Islands Water and Power Authority. Now, one of the things I want to state as a disclaimer right off the bat, we all served during this protracted energy crisis window that we're dealing with. So if the audience want to say, well, what are you being there? I ain't do nothing. Feel free to do that because we know better, right?
Yeah.
Here we are in 2024. This situation that we're dealing with now, Doraki, is completely different and ducks. And mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you why. All them time when we had ideas,
yeah.
we had the money. We there now. And money licking dog, can't done. And it's the same result, right? So the argument that they had against us back in the day, that argument don't apply no more. Because they got the capital now, Rocky Lay, but I want to start with you. And here we are. What is this? May 2024. We are 6 years and 8 months removed from the storms. We are 6 years and 3 months removed from the first major appropriation in the aftermath of the storm, because that was in February 2018 when we started to get our recovery monies, when Congress appropriated these monies. And we're still struggling, Rocky, man. This is unbelievable.
It is.
And you know what it is, too? It's unacceptable. I'm sorry. Right? So when Louis Sylvester saying the experiment for 60 plus years hasn't worked, what's the counter argument? Because I don't see it, Rocky. I just don't see it.
Listen, I still am baffled with the fact that, well, let's begin this way. This is about us. We are the ones running this government. That's my problem.
Mm-hmm.
We are the ones who run this government. Nobody else from outside come running this. We are running it. We have our leaders who run this place. And if something is wrong, why we seem to not be able to put our minds together and fix. To me, this is not a difficult problem. I don't see it.
I agree with you, Mr.
Difficult problem. Yes, I don't
sir.
See it.
You know what I mean?
I just see it as a will to do it. There's not as difficult. There's a will to do it. And part of the problem is that we don't want to tell some of our friends that they're not doing a good job. And we got to do that. You know, some people may be in a job, but they're doing it long and wrong. They're doing it long and wrong, and you got to correct it. And we just don't want to do that. We just want to keep this mediocrity so long, man. That's my problem.
Doc, you've been a senator, three terms. You've been a PSC director. Is this problem fixable, or are we fooling ourselves into thinking that we can't fix it?
Neville, I come to this discussion with a wearing of different hats. The problem is fixable, Neville. The problem is fixable. The problem we have at the utility, Neville, is our generating equipment, okay? The problem we have at the utility, Neville, is the inability of the utility to bring on board renewable energy, Neville. Okay?
Well, hold up right there. We'll take a break on that note and we pick it up with renewable energy as the avenue for really addressing the fix that's necessary where the Virgin Islands Water and Power Authority is concerned. We'll be back right after this.
of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party, or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression, and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Back here and analyze this. Having a very candid discussion about a real time problem we're dealing with here in the territory, and that is centered around our energy distributor, the Virgin Islands Water and Power Authority. Quorum call right now. We got Manda Rocky Leibert, 8-time senator, 2-time senate president, out of the district. He's not a district senator. He's an at large senator. He served the entire Virgin Islands, but the condition being that their last senator must reside on Love City Island, St. John. Good morning, Rocky Leibert. Welcome to the analysis.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning to the handle and Senator Cole and the listening audience.
Good thing. And then we got the 3-term senator, majority leader, the 30th legislature, the handle from the Capitol, Donald Duck School, proud father of a graduate of the 2024 commencement class at the University of Virgin Islands, St. Thomas campus. Good morning, Mr. Majority Leader. Glad to have you on.
President, please, Mr. President.
Mr. President, George Goodwin lives forever here in the territory. So, Doc School, let me ask this question. We keep talking about alternative energy. It's a big thing we're running, Russell, as well. Why can't we, outside of the solar, why haven't we made those strides? And in this case, money ain't the problem, so shouldn't now be the time that we truly go the alternative route? Batteries, OTEC? The other different options, a little bit of wind, some stuff like that. Why not now?
Neville, I'm going to be as plain as possible. At the PSC, we had a presentation to put 10 megawatts of wind over in the Bovoni area, right? This is going on 10 years, Neville. And the gentleman who is doing it, we finally just got the...
Where the cock crowing? By ducks or by Rocky County? That cock song so appropriate to hear that cock crowing when we're talking about this thing. That's a carrot bait cock over there crowing, man.
Carrot bait cock, man. This cock over here, don't play around. They're protecting the territory I had in the yard. And I have 10 hens. And 2 roosters there trying to get a hen there, you know what I mean?
So, that cock crying. And look, it's so appropriate we're talking about what kind of the cock saying, I don't forget we over here, we need. Yeah, but you were talking about a PSC initiative?
Yes, yes. The power purchase agreement had just been done. So Wynn and St. Thomas, after we had done the study, the Wynn study, we found where that we can put Wynn in St. Thomas, over in Bovoni, the Bovoni area, over there by the dump, down by the valley. And it has taken almost 10 years, Neville, for it to come to fruition. And a lot of times it's between the authority and the entity that wants to put it forward. The power purchase agreement, the interconnection agreement, and all these things have drawn out over the years. Okay? St. Thomas right now, Neville, peaks at about, and I'm not sure, because I'm not into it, let's say about 50 megawatts, right? We'll get that 10 megawatts over there. We have, I think, the one up in Bovoni in photovoltaics. And then we had authorized photovoltaics for St. Croix, Neville, that would come about 40 megawatts with batteries, Neville. And what that would do, if we get that over there, because St. Croix peaks at about 40, 45 megawatts, right? You would have enough renewable energy with batteries to run the island of St. Croix. That power purchase agreement, I think, was put in place. That is coming, Neville. The fact is that it's taking so, so long. So once that comes, now what we need to do is the Agrecos that we are renting over in St. Croix, which we have already purchased for the rent, we need to get them or own them as our backup source, because, you know, we have hurricanes and all of that coming through, right? So sometimes they're shut down. So you have to have that backup source. But the generators, the new generators, would be able to do that. So you have the renewable energy, and then you have the backup. But you have to have reliable generators.
So, well, that's what we're going to ask you. When we go this route, what about affordability, efficiency, and reliability?
Well, it definitely is going to come. One of the things that the governor did when he came in, to his credit, we purchased some generators over here in St. Thomas, Neville, and they've been sitting on the island now for about 2 years, ain't get connected. Remember we keep talking about these generators that down in WAPA?
Yeah.
And we've been talking about it coming up. The governor is the one who provided the funding to put that. Now it's in the stock. You also need to do the same thing for St. Croix and get new generators for St. Croix, Neville, so we can have that reliability, that sustainability, and that backup.
And we also wanted that one for St. John over there, Rocky, them, so that they're not dependent on the Randolph Valley plant energizing to get power to St. John.
Yes, the 10 megawatt to St. John. So these things are there. It's the snail movement that is going on. So we can come out of this, Neville, as you talk about the funding. I think the governor have discretionary ability to utilize the funding, which he did over here in St. Thomas with the Wachillas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do the same thing on St. Croix. Utilize some of that funding. Put that in. We need to move warp speed. We're putting in the renewable energy. And then we will be moving forward. It's in the future. It's taking too long. So the first question you asked, Neville, can it be solved? Yes, it can be solved. Okay? And the framework is in place. We just have to get it done in warp speed, Neville.
So check this out. Rocky, you first became a senator in January of 91, right?
Yes.
And that was the heart of the Raymond Judge, Bruno Vega, right?
Right.
So, in other words, there was a political dynamic involved at WAPA as well. And that has undermined WAPA's forward movement.
I know. Well, let me say, I listened to Senator Cole as he outlined the renewable energy plus the new generators.
So my question to you and that is that there's been too much politics involved in WAPA, and we need productivity.
That's why I did not know. That's why I'm getting down the road now, because all of these things that the senator is saying, it's true. But the absence of leadership is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have anybody who's going to say, look, this is what we have. I want to get this done in 30 days or in 3 months.
and I don't want to see nothing else. I want to see something happening. We don't have nobody doing that. The other thing I find absent is that our leadership just depends on the higher-ups for information about to make it work. To me, the time has come for all of these supervisors, the linemen, the those in the hobby plant, and the shops, they put them together because they work on the field every day. So they know what's wrong. They know what's happening, and they could give you a solution for it, but we don't talk to them. You know, we don't talk to the people who are invested in this whole situation. And so the leadership is not really reaching out to where it works and to make it happen. We're talking it, and top of it, we're talking about, oh, the leadership on top, we have this all this time. But we're not going to the people who really implement it and makes it work. They got to buy into it, too. They got to be a part of it.
Well, Rocky,
and if they don't have that, we are not going anywhere.
But, Rocky, you know my biggest fear is, and you know, it's a sad commentary, but it appears to me, right, that there's a segment or a percentage of the Virgin Islands leadership who believe that they could only function under crisis circumstances. And they don't. I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? At what point are we supposed to, are they going to embrace, we're there in the tunnel, and the tunnel pitch black, but we know for sure that we're going to come out of the tunnel and see light. And that ain't happening when it comes to WAPA, man. This is ridiculous, man. We got all these ideas. I had John Abramson calling one day when Kyle Fleming was here. He talked about a OTEC proposal for over there by Salt River. And the next thing you know, the same WAPA leadership said, well, we ain't really want to go there now. Right? I mean, come on, man. I mean, this is, and look at us. Rocky, where businesses, right, are literally telling you, you know, we can't exist. We got waste management and our hospitals telling the government of the Virgin Islands, we functioning and we ain't paying for no electricity.
No, imagine that.
I mean, with all due respect, man, I don't think that they want to do that, but they don't really have a choice because it's medicine or current, right?
Yeah, but never. Again, we are not, we're talking about the things that we have. We're supposed to have money to spend. And they tell you, well, oh, you can't spend the money for this and that. I think that's a bunch of nonsense. You know, I think nonsense because if we have gotten money to take care of our infrastructure and it doesn't fit for a particular area that we want, you go back up there and tell them, listen, this can't work for us this way. We need it this way, you know, and if you really want to help us, this is what we need.
How much money?
I don't see an excuse, and I find those things to be
inexcusable. Inexcusable, and you're right. Yeah. But check this out. Ducks, and you've been in the PSC. How much money have we spent on consultants in the Virgin Islands over the years when it comes to energy, man?
We have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on consultants. But the fact remains, Neville...
On an annual basis?
On an annual basis, about maybe 100,000 up to 200,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, when the consultants bring the recommendation for change, the administration of the utility pushes back.
You know why, right? You know why, right?
Push back.
Because they don't want the sweet bread to change.
Yeah, they push back, Neville, and the situation that we put in place and beg for it to happen never happened. I'll give you an example. Unit 3023 at the Harley plant,
mm-hmm.
the 40 megawatt generator, which at that time when Bruno Vega then put it in was half the load, Neville, at 80 megawatts. The PSC told them, listen, we need to put in like 4 10-megawatt generators. They went and took the PSC to court and tell the PSC, we don't have the power to tell them to do that. That same Unit 23, Neville, is what is causing a lot of problems here in St. Thomas, okay?
23. is supposed to be a great number. That's Michael Jordan and LeBron James' number, you know. Only in the Virgin Islands, 23. What's the right terminology here? Only 23 is non-functional in the Virgin Islands. 23 is a great number everywhere else except for the Virgin Islands. How much years now we've been hearing about Unit 23, Ducks?
Well, that's when they put it in place, and that's the problem there. But 23, that was my football jersey number before Michael Jordan.
so we had greatness down here before MJ and LeBron. Okay. Rocky.
Something else that we're not paying attention to. We have so many companies that make these generators. It's like you in your own private home. You have a car, a 1990-something. Every year, the car improves. Every year, the performance improves. But we want to keep these old generator that you know ain't working good. We have technology so great today that you check with these companies. These companies make a generator that do 50 meg easy.
But check this out, right?
You can buy two generators.
No, but check this out, right?
You have one backup on one day.
When you keep putting off today, right, to do tomorrow, the cost will go up, you know? I remember, right, in around 2009, 2010, Hugo was in his second or third year then. Remember, he had a coca plant suggestion? And it died because it died. I don't know which line that be. Yeah. Which one that be? That's Ducks or that's Rocky?
That's me?
Okay. So that's Ducks line for a laugh. Yeah, Rocky. So we gave him the call back. There was a coke. Remember, there was a coca plant suggest proposal for whatever by Bovoni? And a lease agreement, and we rejected it because, you know, we didn't want to take that risk. But the cost for a power plant around then, when we asked this question to Hugo, how much it cost to build two brand new power plants in the Virgin Islands? I think it was anywhere from between $300 to $400 million per, right? Now, Rocky, we get licked down 7-8 years later, right? And we get more than enough money,
right?
You follow what I'm saying? You check the math I'm talking about, right? Out of the $8 billion, 30% of it, $2.3 billion, was dedicated for energy. That is three times the amount it would have cost to build the two brand new plants 7-8 years before. I'm willing to bet that the cost to construct brand new plants today is nowhere near the dollar figure that it was back in 2010, 2011, or whatever. Why? Because we keep putting off for tomorrow what we could take care of today. And you mentioned it earlier, that will, in this case, the lack thereof, is what really costing us.
Yeah, it really, you know what I find? I can't understand how we could live here, you know, and I'm glad you put a disclaimer earlier because we got some people who listen to this program and they say, oh, I've been there already
We were in the Senate.
Yeah,
and that's our next thing too with the public, right? They believe that the legislature could do everything. All we do is appropriate, you know.
Right, but it's never. They don't understand that. That's why these branches have a thing called amendment, because you amendment and you delete certain things because time changes. Nothing is stagnant. Things that happened 20 years ago changes,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes what was good at that time. It's not so good no more. And so, but I'm saying that right now, we have to look at the we have to have this kind of love, Neville. This kind of love for our people.
We need more than love, my son. We need love and tender loving care. Because,
you got to feel that, listen, man, every day that...
Hold up there, Rocky. Hold up there. Don't go up for it. Hold up there. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Cause I want to get back to that water proposal that you had over 30 years ago because it could still work today. Right? I'll take a break. I'll be back right after this. And Doc.
Finding Your Roots, Eliza Schlesinger.
I always thought I had a very small family that, like, almost came out of nowhere.
And Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, I wish my mom could hear this.
An Ancestor's Courage.
She left her whole family.
She paid for her own ticket.
I'm, like, emotional.
And A Royal Affair.
Duke of Plune.
She was the Duke's mistress.
Oh, that is crazy.
Tune in May 14th at 8 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
Get informed with Analyze This as former Senator Neville James features Virgin Islands newsmakers from around the territory and beyond. Neville dives deep into politics, art, culture, history, and sports. Analyze This, weekdays from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WTJX 93.1.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the Territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the Territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and repeats Sundays at 7 p.m. and Mondays at 8 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
We're back here and analyze this, and we're talking about our baby that is dying in our hands on the Virgin Islands Water and Power Authority. We got Rocky Laybutt and Doug School joining me here for our late week edition of Table Talk. A couple comments. I want to read them. First one, good morning. WAPA is a dead man walking. Slowly, people are making plans to leave the power grid. I know I am. That's one comment. Another comment, Why do things take so long to move in the VA, and how can we change that? I think Rocky might be answering, but can we talk about how to change, and make sure they put how to change in the caps? You know, gentlemen, thank you very much for making some time. Let's educate the public as to WAPA for those who don't know. WAPA is a legislative creation. Is that correct, gentlemen? Title what, 33? Title 30, somewhere around there?
Title 30,
right? And it was created. So the people of the Virgin Islands are the owner of the Virgin Islands Water and Power Authority, right?
Correct.
It belongs to us. And we should want for this entity to have the highest efficiency, the greatest affordability for everybody, right? And more importantly, to be reliable, right? Which means that over time, you must take care of your baby, right?
Yeah.
And one of the biggest issues, and I know Ducks, you could speak to this probably more so than Rocky and I, because Rocky and I, you know, we're just in the logic business. You were actually down there in the inner sanctums of what was going on. Is what Hovensa was telling us for years. Remember we were complaining about how much, remember our bill, right? We used to pay Hovensa, WAPA used to pay Hovensa $250 million, something like that, right? Out of $350 million of operational costs, the oil bill was $250 million, right? And Hess used to tell us, Alex Moorhead, right? The late Alex Moorhead used to tell us the equipment in WAPA is what caused the price. One of the reasons why the price is so steep, because they're not being maintained, and as a result of that, it was guzzling the commodity. Is that right, Ducks? Am I saying this correctly? Because I don't want to be.
That is absolutely correct, Neville. When you spec a generator, the generator has a BTU rating, right?
Mm-hmm.
It means the heat rate. Now, the smaller the heat rate, the more efficient the generator is. Over time, because of lack of maintenance, Neville, the generators lost a heat rate. And let's say you had one spec at 10,000 BTUs, and you go up to 20,000 BTUs, you're doubling the amount of fuel to generate the same amount of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I like to liken that to where we can understand. You have a car, Neville, and it is dripping oil, so you have to be constantly putting oil in the vehicle. You need to go and either get rid of that vehicle or get a new vehicle where you don't have to be paying this bill over and over again.
Correct.
To keep the oil from
that's a good reference. And by the way, for those of you, we've been hearing this term from WAPA, BTU. BTU, that's the British Thermal Unit, right? And it's a measure of heat. It's a measure of heat content of fuels or energy sources, right? And it said one BTU is the quantity of heat required to raise the temperature of 1 pound of liquid water by 1 degree Fahrenheit at the temperature that water has its greatest density, right? And we've been hearing this. Hugo been trying to break this down for us when he had his 6-7 years over there at the helm. And the public, one of the things that I try to do here on this show, right, is when you're hearing all these acronyms and all that stuff, go and educate yourself so you can have a good understanding. I'm glad that you referenced, and Rocky, I think that was a good move what Ducks just did there with that, using that analogy, right? It's like a car, right?
Basically what we're saying, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a car. And remember, I'm saying this now in a Yankee tone because I don't want to say car like St. Croix and car. Like I say St. Thomas and John, right? Your car, right? You want to use your car, right? And if you don't take care of it, it's going to conk out on you. That's just how it is, right? And our WAPA issue, right? And this is what Alex Moyder was saying. Y'all keep killing us for the cost of the commodity, but your infrastructure was a part of the problem, Rocky. So now that we got all this money, what's the excuse? Make it work, man.
Level.
Yeah.
Doc made it clear as to what we all know. But we still haven't arrived at how do we get it changed? How do we move from the bureaucracy? How do we move from this culture of not calling out people for doing their job? That's what it takes a different kind of folks, Not everybody could do that. Not everybody can do that. Some people are scared about, confronting others about jobs. But
resist. But our problem really, Rocky, though, and what you're touching on is resistance. Resistance to change, Rocky. That's our biggest problem.
Yeah, but we all have to come to the pump one day. And if we really care about this place and we want to fix it, you will come to the pump that day. There's no reason why that WAPA should be in this condition it in. There are too many companies around the world that build generators. They have them so that they're much more efficient than ever. I mean, it's mind-boggling with all the money that we have, and we still can't go forward. So that tells me
the
problem is engraved in some of our minds.
Yeah, but that's a human problem that we need to fix. Ducks, one of my listeners texted me this, and I want you to break it down. He said, all the problems started when they shifted to turbine generation, as the director alluded to earlier. Now they have gone back to the combustible generating system, like marine engines, of which is more fuel efficient than those turbines, and the way he explained the operation, right? So engine versus turbine. Right, that's what it is, right? For the most part, right? And if we go the engine route, which is what we're doing now, right? We want to get smaller, more efficient units, right? That's what you're suggesting. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Because we had these big guzzlers, right? That's what that was the deal in the past. The guzzlers that were causing us to have to buy more of the commodity and passing on that cost to the ratepayers, right? So we want more efficient, smaller units. And they won't be as guzzle. They won't guzzle at the levels that they do. That will create the need for the cost. And then, of course, the efficiency is what we're talking about. But I want to talk on the water side real quick. Because, Rocky, if what you were talking about was a 1993 deal, right? And Fiji, we use Fiji as the example, right? I think they came into creation after 1993.
Yes, that's right.
Right? And let me see Fiji water, right? I'm pulling this up here. Let me see history, right? 1996.
Yep.
Right? 1996.
Okay.
So you were a couple of years ahead of the game, right? And what was the resistance to your deal back then, Rocky? Your suggestion?
Well, listen to me. It's so funny you brought this up today. Just some night ago, we were playing some bidwist, and a guy was telling me, he said, man, you know, this thing with WAPA and the water that you had there, it was good then, but it can't work now because, you know, you have about four or five businesses that do water, and you're going to kill the business. And is that, I said, listen, there's a way to accommodate those people, bring them along. I said, but you got to look at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is that what we're going to do was going to make it cheaper for the entire territory.
Yeah.
It always...
And get those businesses into ownership. Syndicate the proposal and get them involved in ownership.
Yes, listen. We have this concept, this insular mentality that we think about that killing us here, man. You know, we don't go outside the box. We want to do everything. We got to hold it to your chest and make sure nothing don't fall out. I mean, come on. Listen. We want to make sure, you know, my idea was that we were going to be the example of the Caribbean. We're going to be the Americans of the Caribbean because we're going to have the cheapest power on this region. Because remember, we're going to bridge over to. We're going to nobody to sign off on. So we got to defend ourselves. And in order to defend ourselves, we got to find ways to make some money. We got to find, you hear them call them a whopper money every day, want money? WAPA have a chance to make money. Look at something else they have. You know that WAPA haven't taken water to more than half of the homes in the territory. You know how much money that is? These people take their WAPA water. I mean, we're going to fix it up and do it right. But if they provide water to just about every home in the territory, that's a huge increase in their portfolio.
Check this out, Rocky. One of my listeners, I think, Docs, you could speak to this. The man said Rocky's idea with underwater was excellent back in the 70s when we had to purchase and barge water from Puerto Rico. Right?
Yeah.
So your idea didn't just come out of the sky. It was because a need was recognized at that particular time.
Yeah, but Neville, the thing with the Rocky situation that they didn't deal with, I'm talking about businesses, just like these guys import all of this water from America or wherever they import it from, we could have gotten WAPA producing its water and on the shelf. Oh, looking at Tempo. You know Tempo have Tempo water?
Yeah.
So what the idea was is we produce the water, create an entity within WAPA for water
exactly.
Production, and we sell it to Pueblo and Casimo.
But basically what you're also suggesting is if WAPA producing the water, that don't mean that you can't start your own company and push your commercial entity and label it how you want. You just buying the wholesale product from WAPA.
Absolutely, and that's what the whole thing was about. So WAPA will be selling this thing to Neville James Company and Neville James now put a plastic and say this is Kushan water, like how we had brown soda over there in St. Croix.
Correct.
This is Kushan water and marketed just like all these waters that are on the market, Neville. You had put out the statistics, I don't remember, of how much water we import.
Yeah. Somebody had submitted that to me, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got to look for it, yeah. So basically what the conclusion is, we were intimidated by risk.
Intimidated by risk, but there wasn't any risk. The great fat man who was wrong, back in his day, he continued to speak about what the next third war is going to be about water.
Yes, sir.
water, and like Celestino used to say, water everywhere, and not enough to drink. We have it, Neville.
Well,
you have to go forward and implement it, but it's like you said, Rocky bring this thing, and who is Rocky?
Yes, sir.
And if somebody else bring it, and then we break the whole thing down and create.
But check this, yeah. A man with a four-syllable last name could come down here and start to yank up a stamp and say, look, the man, we find that money to support this man.
Yeah.
But Cole and Leibold and James ain't got enough syllable in the last name.
Mr. Yuku Shuku.
I remember when it had an I when they said it then. I used to follow it. I know that I had aspirations of coming in. It had an issue down there by Botany Bay. Remember that one?
A high profile
issue. And some man named Ryson or something. I forget what the man name is. Right? But the reality is, right? We don't invest enough in our own. That's just the bottom line, right? And we cannot continue to be this way. It is counterproductive, right? Here's one of the things that companies tell you, right? I have no problem coming to the Virgin Islands because I like your tax structure. Remember, our EDC thing is the most attractive thing in the world, right?
Yes.
But you know what they want first and foremost? I would prefer that you have the workforce down there to fill the needs for my business, because I don't want to have to transition people down there. Why? Because they're looking at the bottom line, right? They're trying to make money and save money, right? And that's why local investment, right, is the best way to go. And it's unfortunate that politics tends to trump that structure. And it can't remain that way forever. We got to fix it. This energy crisis has lasted for way too long. My partner yesterday, I referred to him as my brother-in-law. He said, how long we got this LEAC? And I just had to text him today and tell him, Ed Milligan tell me from a long time ago, we actually had it used to be called a fuel charge. That used to be on the bill. But now we get this sophisticated name, LEAC, you know, the levelized energy adjustment clause and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's the same thing, right? But that's not really the issue. You know, the issue is the infrastructure, our investment into what we own, because it's ours. If we make a decision to go in a different direction, so be it. But we can't continue to have this same discussion over and over again. This is counterproductive. Gentlemen, enjoy your weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all of yours, all your people them. And looking forward to talking with you guys next week. All right?
All right. Take care of
your Okay, good. Hey, and once again, Damari, that's his name? Damari Cole?
Yes.
Congratulations to the Cole family and Damari Cole for taking that step and getting that paper with the seal. That's the key. Yes. The seal. Right? That speaks to the value. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you, Andy Smith, as well. And thank you to Cecile Villanueva. And thank you to all the listeners for text questions. Be good. Be safe. Enjoy the weekend. Happy Mother's Day. Talk to you tomorrow. Talk to you Monday.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Good morning. This is meteorologist Russ Murley with your WTJX local forecast for Friday, May 10th. It'll be a partly sunny sky, spotty showers, middle to upper 80s this afternoon, east to southeast winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. We'll see a few showers tonight, lows in the middle to upper 70s. Partly sunny with spotty showers, 84 to 88 tomorrow. A few showers tomorrow night, middle to upper 70s. It'll be partly to mostly sunny on Sunday, highs 85 to 89 degrees. Rip current risk will be moderate today, particularly north-facing beaches on St. Thomas and east-facing beaches on St. Croix. Take WTJX on the go with the WTJX app, available for download from the App Store and Google Play.